When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, continuing our season previews team by team through all 30 teams in Major League Baseball to get you ready for the fantasy baseball season. We head out west to Oakland, California, for the Oakland Athletics, a team that dedicated fans is a whole new term of endearment when it comes to the Oakland Athletics. It's interesting. One of these days, they'll get a new ballpark. Maybe they'll get new ownership. Who knows? We'll see how it goes, but there will still be some fantasy relevance. And so we are going to break it down here. In order to break it down, I have a special guest joining me, a great friend of the show, a friend of mine. I am looking forward to chatting with him about the A's. Find his work at pitcherlist.com, Baseball Prospectus, the Fantasy Baseball Beat at Triple Play Fantasy. And he's the man, the myth, the legend behind Specs, which I know myself and Ryan Bloomfield love quite a bit. You can find him on Twitter at CA Marcano, Carlos Marcano. How we doing, my friend?
Oh, man. It's always a blast to be here with you, Ryan. And I'm always happy talking baseball, and I'm usually happy talking Oakland, but not so much lately. But, I mean, it is what it is, you know? Yep. I know we've been joking about there's not too much to talk. I wish there were more, but I think that we might still get a few things out of it. So.
100%. We're going to get some gems out of this because there will be some guys, or at least some late long shots or guys to keep an eye on for later in the season. There will be some fantasy relevance in the A's by the time the season's over. We both could probably guarantee you that. So that'll definitely happen. Yeah. Before we get into the Athletics here, I mentioned where people can find you. Why don't you let everybody know what you have going on right now? You're a busy, busy man.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to be busier regarding baseball and not so many other things in real life.
I understand life, that.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to put some stuff out there. As usual, my rambling in Twitter at CA Marcano. And right now I'm mostly writing for Baseball Prospectus. We're right now with the, you know, all the landing pages for the beginning of the season. This week was second baseman. Next week we will continue with another position. So it's pretty interesting there. Also, I'm planning to put more research stuff in with Pitcher List. I've been working on a few things, playing some machine learning and stuff. And let's see where does it take me, you know. And of course, What been getting a little more busy of and more of our time is the Fantasy Baseball Beat podcast with mutual friends Mike Carter and Chris Torres. It's been crazy, man. to be honest, it's been so much fun. This all started, you know, like friends gathering with Mike and Chris, and David Mendelsohn put us together. He just pulled every one of us together, and I'm really happy he did. And we got lucky and got nominated for our FSWA award, which we can still believe it. I mean, this is something that belongs to you guys, to people, and I mean, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. We've tried to, you know, do this really specific thing, bringing the beat writers and talking about whatever they can give us regarding fantasy baseball. And it's been evolving a little bit. We even add some mental health stuff too. So it's been fun. It's been fun, and we appreciate it, all the support that we've gotten.
Yeah, it's awesome. Congratulations. You guys it's a great show. I told Mike when I had him on recently, it's really cool to see, like, you guys melding together, still finding your groove. You can see each episode how you guys are starting to find it more and more, and then it just eventually will start all clicking, and it'll be awesome. So it's fun to watch you guys do that, and it's great information. Like, I just recorded the Mets preview a couple hours ago with Simeone, and he used one or two terms from one of your guys' shows with your Mets beat reporter, because it's a valuable tool that is going to be very, very nice throughout the preseason and the season when it comes to fantasy baseball. Now, when it comes to fantasy baseball, we're going to talk Oakland Athletics. And I'm a very sarcastic person, so I'll joke around a lot. But like you said, there's going to be – like, and, you know, the Giants, I'm not happy with the way the Giants are. Like, they might on paper be better than the A's, but in reality, wouldn't be shocked when Oakland comes to San Francisco if, like, the A's swept the Giants. It's just it's a bad deal all around. But let's talk about fantasy here. And Ramon Laureano, this is such a conundrum of a player for me, Carlos, and you might agree with me. He's like, we know the talent's there. This is a 2020 bat, you know, okay batting average. It's just stay healthy or don't get suspended or whatever. It's always something with, like, Laureano keeping him off the field. But right now, heading into opening day, he should be there all season unless something goes wrong. And we're getting them at a really good discount in drafts, like, ADP 225 since January 8th. It's really crazy what the price tag is for a guy that could go 2020. But maybe you have other thoughts on Laureano. What's your thoughts on him?
No, definitely. I have to be with you there. This is a guy that it's hard not to like because, as you say, he can be a 2020, and those are not, you know, very common everywhere. He should have the playing time. He unless he, you know, surprises us with another of this, you know, antics. But in the if we suppose this, he's staying healthy, he will. Oakland doesn't have anyone to fill that spot other than him, and he has the talent. He's a proven talent, right? Mm-hmm. The caveat with the Laureano, and that will be the same with any player in that lineup, is that we are a little, or I'm a little concerned about counting stats like runs and RBIs, you know, and that's going to be a continuous thing with Oakland, because those are pretty too much dependent on the roster construction and on the lineup construction. And if we have a problem there, a base problem there, that's going to impact the value of anyone on that lineup. But I would be tempted to get some shares of Laureano because mostly of the pricing. Mm-hmm. He's 225, and for a 2020 guy, possible 2020 guy, there are not too many options. From my perspective, is I would not be targeting him, but if he's right there when it's my turn, I might get him. I think it's particularly interesting in draft and holds or best ball formats that are so deep. You know, you get these 50 players rosters. I think that he would be a lot more useful there. And but even for a fab league or in a 15 team, I think he could still prove to be a little bit valuable. So I like him. I like him in those terms. Not specifically targeting, but I would scoop him if that's my turn on the draft, and I think I get them.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page there. It's and I love them, like you said, for like draft and hold formats, because it just adds the depth piece. And we talk about how outfield dries up so quickly, or kind of dries up. Yeah. So if you can get it, like, you'd be drafting them as your fifth or sixth outfielder, potentially even fourth or fifth outfielder, whatever. that's a really good guy if he actually stays on the field and makes things happen. Like, those are a bunch of ifs, but the talent's undeniable when he is out there. And he made a great point with the counting stats, and that is going to be a problem throughout the team. And we'll just go straight to Tony Kemp with this one. You know, ADP around 450-ish, give or take, right now, which is crazy to think about for a guy that leads off and plays nearly every day. Played 147 games last year, 131 games in 2021. Like, he's not going to get you double-digit power, maybe get you double-digit steals. But like, on paper, you think leadoff hitter, that late in the draft, we want at-bats. This is perfect. Obviously not the same at-bats, like you mentioned in Oakland. What's your thoughts on Tony Kemp? They even paid him a little more money this year to stick around. And he's 32, which is old for Oakland, but he's leading off. So it's an interesting, like, it's another conundrum I have with the A's. It's like, I want to take the at-bats, but are they worth taking type thing?
Honestly, I don't think they're worth it, Ryan. I think he dropped like 40 points in his home base percentage for last year. And comparing with 2021, no, even worse, he dropped from 382 to 307 in his on base percentage, and he is a career 330 on base percentage. So he underperformed his career OBP, but still, I mean, for him to be worthy, he needs to get on base, and I'm not seeing it. That dropped in batting average. He's an empty little man. You know, he's just like playing for because of Oakland not having anyone else to
no other options.
Yeah, no other options. And if you see it, he just get you like he could get to double digits stolen bases, but he might not because he's getting older, and you know the aging curve for guys that steal bases, it's really really bad when they cross those 31 years. So I don't see it, and I don't think I will get any Tony Kemp's shirt this year, unfortunately.
No, it's probably the right call. Let's put it that way. This next player is interesting because we saw him lately, and we're talking to Seth Brown here, played 150 games last year, 25 homers, 11 steals, hit 20 homers the year before. You do mention the counting stats with 25 home runs, only 55 runs scored, and 73 RBIs. You'd expect maybe a little more there, but batting average is not his jam. But the rest of it, the power we've seen and that increase in speed's kind of interesting. You know, roster resource has him platooning. I don't know if that's really going to happen. Maybe you'd have a better feel on that. But you're getting him around an ADP of 215 or so. So what are you thinking of Seth Brown, who, if you're looking for power after pick 200, I can see the argument, but there still are question marks, I have a feeling.
Yeah, there are a lot of question marks, but to be honest, Seth Brown is the guy that I'd like the most in the whole roster, and I think he could be valuable. He has tremendous power. He goes around 13% in barrel rate, which is really cool. 113 max exit velocity, which is really nice. And he took some steps in terms of improving his contact, not that many because he still have holes in that swing. You know, he's not gonna be a guy that's gonna get you, I don't know, more than 240, you know, being optimistic, 245, but because he swings a lot and he misses a lot, but he is also close to 10% in walks, which is better than league average. So that's a good power profile for a guy that has all his strength. I think Seth Brown could get you 30 homers, and at that point in the draft on the 200s, those are not bad at all, you know. And he showed speed. He got 11 stolen bases last season. So if you get 30 homers and 10 stolen bases at that point, you can live with a 240, 235 batting average. And he has the biggest opportunity of scoring and driving in bases. He's going to bat third, probably. Well, it depends of what at the end, Oakland decides, right? But he will probably bat third or cleanup in that lineup. And I don't think they are going to platoon here that much, to be honest. The other guy that could get some at bats from him, and that's the guy, one of the guys I'm interested in talking, Ryan Noda. He's a lefty too, so he will not be the direct guy that's gonna get those at bats from Seth Brown, and I think Brown is gonna be a staple through the whole year there, or maybe until they trade him for a contender at some point in before the trade, like, because he could get, I don't know, 15 homers by that point, and someone is going to get interested in a power lefty to fill some holes in the roster, you know? So I think he's interesting, and I would like to get a few shares of him. I think he's the guy to keep an eye on in Oakland.
Yeah, I love that call with Brown. And then you mentioned Noda, and I want to ask you some more questions on him since you brought him up. His ADP over the last couple weeks is like 530. And I saw you mention something about him, and you put him on the outline. Britton Allen mentioned something about him, and he's got a new show coming up on Sports Ethos, I think I heard, which is good for him. He's a Rule 5 pick. So for those that aren't familiar, he has to either stay with the big club or give back to the team he got him from. And you look at Ryan Noda's numbers in the minors recently, 25 homers, 20 steals in AAA last year. He's shown pretty much 20-plus home run power with some speed. It's an intriguing profile, and a profile like, why wouldn't the A's give it a chance type thing? So how would you like to approach Noda in draft season, I guess?
I mean, he's basically free, you know, and I would definitely add him in any draft and hold draft that I would do, because he's gonna be probably. Let me start with something. If you're expecting Jesus Aguilar to be your cleanup hitter for the whole season, man, you're up for a treat and a surprise, you know. Yeah. Going to
fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Pitcher friendly park like the Coliseum, and for a guy that it's way out of his best moment like Aguilar, I don't think he's gonna last alone. I could bet that he's gonna be DFA sooner than later at any point. And if he doesn't, it's because Oakland is just, you know, a bunch of cheap bastards that do not want to bring anyone else, you know.
Yep.
And Ryan Noda is I would give him the chance from the get-go, and I think it would be a better option than Aguilar. He's like what we like to call the minor league professional. He's been there for a while. He's 27 years old. This is a brute force guy. He can knock the socks off the ball, but he also has a 15% walk rate. That's crazy, you know. This is a guy that's gonna be on base. He can hit the ball really hard. He's kind of what Joey Gallo was supposed to be, you know.
That's a good one.
Because Gallo could take a lot of walks and hit really hard until he couldn't, you know. So Noda, that he's like the guy I like to, and I wish he has a better ending than what Gallo has been having, you know. Mm-hmm. But if Oakland could get a great fourth batter in that lineup, I don't see anyone else in that organization. Maybe Seth Brown could be the other cleanup hitter there. But if Oakland doesn't give him the chance, it's just because, you know, other constraints and money and things like that. I don't know, crazy stuff that they do over there. And the interesting part with Noda is that even if they just want to use him in some weird way for a trade or something, they have to shop him around and they have to show him, you know. So that's what makes me, and I'm maybe just going a lot by gut here, but I think he could be a big surprise in that lineup.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. Like I said, when you and Britton started mentioning things, I started looking into him a little more, and any Rule 5 guy has to stand out to have a real shot, especially even more so on a team like if it was Oakland or Pittsburgh or kind of these bottom tier teams. The Rule 5 guys have even more chance because these teams are so cheap. Why would they waste a pick and potentially paying a guy if they're not going to like run with it and see what happens to at least trade him, like you said? If not, maybe this is the new cheap piece and now we go and trade a Seth Brown or something like that. It's like it's how they work. And so it makes a lot of sense when that was mentioned along the way. So I'm intrigued because, like, yeah, if they trade Seth Brown, who was even rumored to be traded to like the Yankees at times last year, if he gets traded, then Noda can walk right in there. He could platoon at first base with Aguilar. He could, there's a lot of avenues to Noda, especially if he produces, like you said. So I'm very, very intrigued with him, especially with the ADP. It's probably going to come up now that more and more people are talking about him, but that's how this game works that we play. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, and if for some reason, if like spring training starts in the first couple of weeks, he's mashing baseballs, it's going to get real interesting. So, yeah, we'll see how that one plans out.
Oh, for sure.
You mentioned Jesus Aguilar, though, and that was kind of a surprise move when I saw it because I just didn't expect it to happen in Oakland. It made sense. It was affordable and it worked. But and I don't mind it. I like players going to bad teams because that's where you get extra at bats and you can be fantasy relevant. It works for Jesus Aguilar at first base. At the same time, like you mentioned, it's Jesus Aguilar at first base. So how would you approach him in fantasy? Because, you know, when we first made this outline, he had an ADP of 665. Then he got signed. Over the last 2 weeks, last six or 10 days or last six drafts, his ADP is now 491. It's risen like 170 spots. So he's moving up. How do you look at him in fantasy? Because like you kind of mentioned it briefly there with Noda. But is there any interest still?
I'm not interested at all, Brent, to be honest. To be completely honest, I suffered Jesus Aguilar last year with the Marlins. I had him in a few drafts, mostly as a band-aid for some places where I had injuries and things like that. And he was just not good at all, man, to be honest. He wasn't delivering in clutch moments. He played a lot of third and fourth in battery with the Marlins, and he just couldn't get the most out of those situations. He lost some velocity in his swing. His barrel rate is coming down for the last couple of years. His barrel percentage went down from 8.4 to 6.7. from 2021 to 2022. He's a guy that had lost 2 miles per hour in his max exit velocity from 2021 to 2022. Even with the, you know, they were saying that we had some jumpy balls around in the ballparks last year. He actually, when everyone was gaining in his max exit velocity, he lost 2 miles per hour. So I don't see anything, you know, that he could be helpful, especially in first base where there are some other options that you could get affordable. You know, you could go, well, a little bit higher, but it's still affordable. You could go with Rowdy Tellus and things and other players like that, and Ryan Mountcastle, who can help you a lot more, and they're still affordable. So I don't see him as a viable option.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Like, I was all excited at first, but the more I've looked at the situation and the other pieces like around him and part of the situation, it's like, maybe I got too excited out the gate type thing. So yeah, I'm with you now on that one. Now, this is a player I'm very intrigued by, because when we talk range of outcomes in a guy, this is all over the board. This could be, you know, good Billy Hamilton or bad Billy Hamilton. This could be a lot of things right here. Then Estuary Ruiz, who was traded to the A's last, it was last season. ADP is around 220-ish right now. We know the speed is as legit as it comes. Not a ton of power, but just can run and run and run and run and run. Problem is, he's got to get on base to run. So that's kind of one of his ups and down moments. But in the minors, like, people say that. I look at his minor numbers. He hit fine in the minors. He just kind of had a few hiccups towards the end. How do you look at Estuary Ruiz? Because, again, kind of how I thought with, like, Noda and some others, when you're a team like Oakland, why wouldn't you let the young kids play and see what you have? That's just my two cents. But you would know better than me. You've experienced it better than I have. So what's your thoughts on Ruiz?
No, I totally agree. I think they should give him the will and let him drive. You know, I don't see why they would be putting Tony Kemp leading off and extending with all that money when they traded for this guy that. I mean, he's a rookie. He's not proven in with the big teams, but honestly, would he be worse than Tony Kemp? Just putting it like that, I don't think he would. At least it would be more fun, you know, just looking at him running the bases and with that huge ballpark that whenever he hit one into the gap, it's going to be a double or a triple most of the time. So I'm really intrigued because you could be concerned about his contact. He has a few holes in that regard. Most projections, I think, have been for 240. Well, ATC has him for 240. The BatX is a little bit less optimistic. It's 228. And that's because his swinging rate is still a little bit high compared with his walk rate. But that's comparable to what Tony Kemp can do, you know. So it doesn't make sense just to have him waiting and you know, buried in the bottom of the lineup. I would just put him at the first place and give him the chance to lead off. I would get shares of Estuary Ruiz just because he's a guy that, even maybe with the new rules, he could get you 50 stolen bases. I think that's the kind of speed that kid has. And we don't know if he can just click and be on base more than we think he could. Or the projections are telling us. So just for the wow factor and the intrigue, I think he's actionable, you know. And of course, this is from a 15 teams perspective, right? Yeah. Where things are deeper and we need more players to fill our and as you said, outfield, it's not as deep as it was years before. I don't know if it's me, but I think outfield, it's like shallower every mm-hmm. time, you know. And it's weird because there's supposed to be a lot of talent in outfields, but that's the way I'm looking at it right now. So he's worth a shot.
Yeah, I think it's the shallow part. It's because there's so many more platoons, it feels like. There's not as many, like, for sure guys, and that's what makes it tricky. So, yeah, I have a couple shares of Ruiz already. I definitely am buying into that in my draft and hold formats. You know, you just attack outfield, and he's, like, your fifth or sixth outfielder. And if he plays well, and now he's your probably third outfielder. You just kind of play the game in that regard. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you on Estuary Ruiz, and I've given my chances there. Let's go to catcher here. And it was impressive. I wrote up catchers for the Black Book, so I know way too much about catchers. And, you know, watching Sean Murphy last year collect more plate appearances than any other catcher in baseball, played, like, I don't think he played more games, but pretty darn close. Like, he was out there a ton, over 150, I think, games total between DH and catching, which is unheard of in this era of baseball. That leads me to Shea Langeliers, because when they traded Sean Murphy, I was like, maybe they'll get William Contreras. No, they got Manny Pena. So that's not the answer. So Shea Langeliers, who came over in a previous trade, well, from the Brewers, actually, I believe. He showcased some power in the minors, kind of an up and down first campaign with the big club. But there's offensive talent there for sure. And if the A's do anything close, I'm not saying they'll do the Sean Murphy treatment, but if they let him play pretty much like four times a week, like he probably will behind the plate, there's some interest for me there. So what's your thoughts on Shea Langeliers?
I like Langeliers in terms of the vote of confidence that he got from the team. That, as you said, when they traded Murphy, I thought they were going to get another catching piece. But as you said, Manny Pena is in it. And actually, he's projected to be the backup catcher behind the Langeliers. And that's a weird vote of confidence in Oakland these days. So maybe they're seeing something there that's interesting. And the problem with Langeliers is that this K rate is just ridiculously bad. You know, I think last season it was almost 35%. And he's been close to 30 his whole minor league career too. So that's kind of, pretty bad. And he needs to work on that. That's going to be the key part. But Oakland has done magic for guys that had problems with their K rates. Like, well, the biggest case was Matt Olson, who used to be a free swinger and started working on it. And then they had some things doing in their labs and things like that helped in. And if they can do the same for Langeliers, I mean, he could be a monster because the guy has a lot of power. So we, for our two catchers leagues, he could be a good speculative add in as your second catcher, or maybe you can have it in your if you're drafting now and you're not waiting for spring training, that's the third, just waiting to see what happens in the first month of the season. I think he's draftable. He's not cheap. That's the thing. It's 284, and for a catcher like that, that's kind of rich for me. So if you missed in with your targets, you could do a lot worse. You're not getting Manny Pena for sure. He would be better like that. I would say that if he falls to 300, maybe a one round more, he could be more palatable if I'm drafting him.
And the one thing I'll say for people playing in the NFPC or using their ADP, of course, is he's utility only right now. So if you draft him, he won't be catcher eligible for, I think it's like 10 games or something. So it's hard to hold a third catcher unless it's a draft and hold, then it works totally fine. Like he fits very well in that scenario. But for a fab league, just beware. It's another wrinkle in the Shea Langeliers mess.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the mound, and I crossed Cole Irvin off because he's gone now. That was one that took place since we last talked. This is tough.
And that was the good one, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, I'm just going to say all these pitchers are like past ADP 500. Most of them are past 600. That tells you a lot, like the question marks here.
Yeah.
We crazy. Can go pitcher by pitcher, or you can tell me which ones stand out to you to be fantasy vile. Like there's Paul Blackburn, Kaprielian, Rzynski, Fujinami, Waldichuk. We know Kyle Mohler's still hanging around somewhere. If you were looking from a fantasy perspective, I'm just going to group them together. Who stands out to you for fantasy? Because most of these guys feel like they're streamers down the line or just kind of like hopefully they get traded. I don't know. Like it's a weird situation.
To be honest, none of them. to be completely honest, I would not like to lie to anyone. Probably Fujinami is the question marks, right? We don't know how his talent is going to to translate to the major leagues. And this is a guy that's coming, and the projections are all over the place around him. You know, the bat has him for a 5.48, but ATZ has in 4.74 ERA, but Zips have 3.71. They're all like in scales of 1 point for each of the projection system. So I believe that no one knows exactly what to expect from Fujinami. He's either provided to be reliable in Japan. He didn't strike. Well, he strike out, but we know that Japanese imports, their K rates drop the first season they arrive to the big show. So, and then they adjust. He's the question mark. Is he actionable? I'm not sure. I'm not drafting him anywhere. We don't know if it's going to go in the rotation from the first moment, although Oakland said he would, but sometimes they take these guys and they get them out of the bullpen so they can get some experience without the pressure of having to start. I think this is going to be very dependent on spring training, and so I would wait until then to make a decision to draft him, to be honest. I don't have a share of him, and I don't think I will have until I see some live action in spring training. The other guys, my God, maybe Caprillion, but it's hard to draft any of these guys. And, yeah. And believe me, it's going to be a lot harder to watch these games this year, Brian. I don't know how, as a fan, and allow me to just rant a little bit about Oakland. As a fan, this is embarrassing, to be honest. The way these people is handling this team is extremely, extremely embarrassing. It's like, it's not like these guys are you know, pulling their allowances to try to get the team going forward. These are billionaires that they don't give a damn about the fans, or about the show they put night after night. The worst part is that I don't want to be mean with the actual players. You know, that's not their fault.
It's not their fault. It's not their fault at all. Yeah,
not at all. These guys are professionals. They're trying to make their best effort to earn
a job somewhere else.
Yeah, the best, honest way they're living, and I appreciate the effort that they do. But the failure that Oakland has turned to be, from Billy Bean to all the way to the ownership, it's just embarrassing, and I don't understand how are they surprised that barely 1,000 people go to the game on any given day. You know, those hardcore fans are gonna go too if they keep doing what they're doing with the team.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you one bit. I feel for you. I really do. Like I said, I'm sarcastic. I like to make jokes. I especially like to make jokes of really bad situations, because otherwise it's just like the bad sinks in more and more. Yeah. And it sucks. And I love the point you made, though. It's like, because it's not the player's fault. And if anything, they might play harder because they want to get out of there. They know if they play great, they're not going to get paid. So now we're gone. So that's like a plus there. And the fans in Oakland are amazing. They're amazing fans. So it's like, because I'm out here on the West Coast, and so all there of the Giants or the A's games are my options usually at night. And it's like, I'll turn on an A's game just to see like 1,000 people. I feel like I go to a college baseball game down to, like, in Cal Poly, and there's more fans at the game or something. It's just, it's so hard to watch, and it's like, it's professional baseball, and yeah, it's a whole different thing that hopefully gets resolved sooner than later. And sadly, I don't know if a new ballpark's the answer. I really don't. I think it's the ownership needs to go. It's that simple. But that's a whole other discussion. That's a great discussion for fantasy baseball beat when you guys get like Susan Slusser or something on there. That would be amazing to make that happen. A couple more questions for you. Let's talk bullpen real quick. They went and got Trevor May, who I think is a great back of the bullpen pitcher. Don't know if he's a closer though. It's like a mentality thing. I think he's got the skills. Don't get me wrong. We've really never seen a full run of Trevor May closing. You know, you have Jackson back there. You have Acevedo. I've always said AJ Puck should be the closer. I think that's always been a fun option. How do you like? And again, they're not going to win a ton of games, but how do you assess the bullpen situation?
I mean, May, he can do the job, arguably. He has the means, as you say. It might be a problem of mentality, to be honest with him. He's gonna be dirty cheap, and if you're desperate for saving he could go almost for free. His ADP is, I don't have it right now with me, but I think he's really, really cheap, right? The big situation is the one that you mentioned. We in Oakland, it's not gonna win a lot of games, and that's gonna dilute in between the guys that they have. I don't think May is gonna be out there for every closing situation. So they might try some options there, one or the other. As I said, let's say you got Edwin Diaz, and then you missed on some middle options for relieving. You can get some cheap dirt to save from Trevor May just to come to be the added value to your main guy. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking, and this I forgot to mention, there's an intriguing guy on the mound for Oakland, and it's the guy, one of the guys that they got in the Cole Irvin trade, which is Cal Mueller. And Mueller, he was, kind of good in his last AAA season with Atlanta. He was a .341 guy. He pitched almost 140 games. He had a nice FIP, nice whip. He had a little problem with allowing too many homers, but he struck out 159 batters in 134 innings pitch. So he could be intriguing in very deep, maybe AL-only leagues. Because I've read some comments that David Forrest expected that he could be part of the rotation at some point. Mm-hmm. So if you guys play, this deep American leagues, he could interest him from that perspective at some point in the season when the wheels start to fall off in that rotation. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of shuffling, scrambling for new arms in that rotation through the whole year. So he could be of some value, Cal Mueller.
Yeah, I like the Mueller call if I'm going at the kind of long, shoddy draft and hold type pick. He's got the talent, at least. Just a matter of can he hone it in and make it work. Yeah. J.P. Sears was a popular target last year. They got in a trade, and he pitched a little towards the end. I'm not in love with him, but he'll get some run as well. So there'll be a lot of options for guys off the waiver wire throughout the season if necessary when it comes to Oakland. Last question I have for you here. And the one thing with teams like Oakland is you do have a lot of prospects now. Are they good prospects? Who knows? But there's a lot of them. Are there any that might have an impact this year that you're kind of curious about for fantasy, or are they kind of maybe a few years away? Like, I know you got Soderstrom, and that's kind of a maybe situation, probably another year, I'd imagine, but maybe not. So how do you look at your prospect situation?
Yeah, probably Soderstrom is the guy that could be closer, and he's still not there. I've read some reports that they're a little bit worried about he's not been ready yet, and maybe that's why they're giving more options to Langeliers as the primary catcher. There was also Connor Capel, the outfielder, he's a lefty. He came, I think they took him from waivers from Cleveland. But he's not there yet. Oakland usually has these guys that appear of nowhere from their farms, and they just put them to play when nothing give the results on with the guys they currently have. So I'm always, you know, really with my eyes open to see all the transactions happening in Oakland, because sometimes there can be this hidden guy that could get you, but it's more like a streamable thing, you know, something that I have to be analyzing week by week. Right now, I don't see a guy that in the midterm being an option in terms of providing some boost to a draft and a whole team or something like that. I don't see him. The guy was the Ryan Nota, and he's already in the roster, you know. And I think that's like the closest to a prospect or something, but which isn't, he's not, because he's already a 27-year-old Rule 5 guy. So it's really bad in every front in over there in the Coliseum, Brian. I mean, prospects in front on the better ends. Everywhere there's a hole to be filled in that team.
Yeah, it's going to be a little while, it feels like, and yeah, hopefully sooner than later for you, my friend. But we're going to wrap it up there, of course. And even for an A's team, we went about as long as every other team. So it wasn't as – like, there's still fantasy relevance, my friend. There's still fantasy relevance somewhere to be found. Before we head on out of here, once again, remind everybody what you got going on that they can find and where they can find you on wonderful Twitter.
Yeah, sure. At CA Marcano, that help place we call Twitters, and also Baseball Prospectus and Pitcher List. Just make sure that you guys check, you know, all the preparation for the draft season that these sites are putting out. And of course, the Fantasy Baseball Beat. We already have a few more episodes done. We have Los Angeles and the Angels. I'm sorry, the Angels. Both teams from Los Angeles. The Angels and the Dodgers coming pretty soon for everyone to enjoy. Thanks a lot, Brian, once again for having me, man. I mean, it's always a blast.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure catching up with you, talking some baseball. Next time I have you on, we'll talk something a little more positive and have some more fun, because, yeah, there it is. There's the smile. Carlos has a smile, folks. It's there. So I'm looking forward to maybe we'll get some specs updates or some other fun stuff. Sure. Or the research he's got coming up with Pitcher List. I can't wait to see what it's all about. So make sure you guys follow him on Twitter at CA Marcano. Great guy, great fantasy analyst, and much more. But this will be your Oakland Athletics season preview. Thanks, Drew Bubba. Catch y'all later.
Way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.